audio.
Commissioner Castillo? Commissioner Tortorich?
Tortorich is here, but this is the first time I've heard anything.
Yeah, okay. Something's funky.
Correct.
Who is Commissioner Griffith? Is that you?
No, that's Janie. I just started hearing voices. I am present.
Thank you. Commissioner Wright? Your mic. Commissioner Montgomery?
All these people are here.
Commissioner Montgomery? And Commissioner Jung Lee?
This is Commissioner Griffith. I didn't hear my name, but I am present.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Jung Lee is present.
Thank you, Commissioner Jung Lee. Commissioner Montgomery? Okay. I have six commissioners present.
Well, I think we have a communication problem here that
hold on just a second.
We need to fix.
Good evening. We apologize for the technical difficulties. We're going to ask each of the commissioners from the Oakland Housing Authority to restate your name once again for a roll call, please. Ms. Garcia, would you read roll call again, please?
Commissioner Hartwig.
I am here.
Commissioner Griffith.
Present.
Commissioner Castillo.
Present.
Commissioner Tortorich.
I'm here.
Commissioner Wright?
Here.
Commissioner Montgomery? And Commissioner Jung Lee?
Present.
Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So do we have a motion for last month's minutes?
So moved. This is Commissioner Griffith.
Second by Commissioner Wright.
Moved, seconded, all in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, then we are going to move on to old or unfinished business, for which we have one item.
Thank you, Chair. This item is the consideration and adoption by the board of the fiscal year 2021 Oakland Housing Authority operating budget. As presented on Monday, June 9, 2020, by the leadership of the Oakland Housing Authority during the Commissioner's Budget Workshop, the staff team presented the materials relating to fiscal year 2021 operating budget, which included the Public Housing Authority's comprehensive consolidated budget. After considerable presentations, the Housing Authority made only one change to what was presented on the 9th, and that is an additional funding to increase the line item on page 7 of your attached budget under excess operating revenue over operating expenses in yellow highlight. The expansion of local programs was increased from $1 million for fiscal year 2021 to $1,361,093. The additional $361,000 is to put a placeholder in a budget for another local program that the Housing Authority is in discussion with a partner here in the City of Oakland. If that item is proven to be something that we can implement, I will be bringing it to the board at the next board meeting for review and approval. Other than that, commissioners, the budget is as presented during our last board meeting workshop. And this is an action item and would require a vote.
Hope if I turn on my mic. Do we have a motion, please? So we're looking for a motion for the budget, approval of the budget.
I move, this is Commissioner Zheng Li. I move approval of the budget for fiscal year 2021.
Commissioner Tortorich will second.
Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? It carries unanimously. Next item, modifications to the agenda. I have none. Anyone else have any?
None have been presented, Chair.
All right, then we are now moving on to new business. And item A is nomination and election of chair and vice chair for the Housing Authority. And so I think the way that we will handle this tonight is anyone who is interested in either one of those two positions, just please make a statement that you are interested. And then you can also make a statement as to why, and just talk about your interest, and then we'll just move forward from there. Okay, hearing none, moving forward. I actually would be very happy to continue as chair, but I also want to mention, and I think this is very important because I know that a lot of commissioners have said that, you know, this that these officer roles should be spread around a little bit, and I absolutely agree with that. So I want to encourage that if we go forward with myself and Anne, that anyone who wants either one of these positions, please just come and approach us, and we'll be happy to work with you and move forward so that next time we may have a different person. So do we have nominations? Let's start with chair. So. Nomination for chair, please.
Commissioner Wright so moves that the chair will stay as it is.
Okay, we have a motion. We are now looking for a second.
Commissioner Tortorich will second that. Happily.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, then we are going to move to vice chair. Do we have a nomination for Anne Griffith?
I'd be happy to move that Commissioner Griffith continue as vice chair.
I'll second that. This is Janie Castillo.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention? It carries. We're moving forward with our status quo. And I also want to thank everyone for your support for me. It means a lot to me. And it's actually, though, kind of sad that we can't see everybody here. And I'm really looking forward to when we can all get back together and really work as a team. Next, item B. We now have nomination and election of two directors to the Tassafaranga Housing Corporation Board of Directors for 2-year terms.
Chair, pursuant to the Tassafaranga Housing Corporation bylaws, the Board of Commissioners appointed directors to that board at its annual meeting, at the last annual meeting in June of 2018. Currently, the directors are Commissioners Janet Castillo and Commissioner Lynette Zheng Li. The executive director is an ex officio in his third seat. And with that, sir, we open up for nominations.
This is Commissioner Castillo. I don't mind staying on if you guys need me to, if there's no other interest from the other commissioners.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to nominate Commissioner Jani Castillo to that seat. As well as, are we doing one at a time?
I think now then we need a second.
Okay.
I second. This is Commissioner Zheng Li.
Okay, excellent. And then another nomination.
I'd like to also nominate Commissioner Zheng Li, if she is so amenable.
I am willing.
And then a second? We have a second. Okay, so all those in favor of Commissioner Castillo, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, then Commissioner Zheng Li.
Aye.
Aye, okay. Any abstentions or any nays? Carries unanimously. Okay, very good. Now we have the election of directors for OPI for 2-year terms as well.
Chair, current pursuant to the Oakland Affordable Housing Initiative's bylaws, the Board of Commissioners need to appoint directors to the OPI board at today's annual meeting. Currently, the directors are Commissioners Mark Dordrich and Commissioner Ann Griffith.
Is there anyone else interested in those two positions? May we have nominations, please?
This is Commissioner Zheng Li. I nominate Ann Griffith and Commissioner Mark Dordrich to continue serving as the Oakland Affordable Housing Preservation Initiative's Board of Directors.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second?
Second by Commissioner Wright.
We have a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Carries unanimously. Okay. Moving on now to item D.
Commissioners, item D is the consideration and adoption of the Oakland Housing Authority e-signature policy. This action will approve the Housing Authority's e-signature policy that will help us to increase productivity, convenient, timely, and appropriate access.
Why do that?
By using electronic signature technology to collect signatures and also to make sure that we're handling the business of the Housing Authority according to all local laws, rules, and regulations. What we've learned during these past 4 months of COVID is that—
I'm sorry, there's more than one conversation happening and I can't hear you too well, Director.
I apologize. Thank you for letting us know, Commissioner Castillo. Can I remind everyone to mute yourselves if you're not speaking at the moment? Thank you. As I was sharing, is what we've learned in the last 4 months during our sheltering in place with so many people working remotely is the need to be able to nimbly move the business of the Housing Authority along with authorized signatures for official documents. And so the staff team has put together an e-signature policy with input from General Counsel Jalay Brown to ensure that we've identified the appropriate documents and the appropriate processes for e-signature policy. To present on this item, I welcome to the microphone Chief Operating Officer Andres Manriquez.
There.
Can you hear me? Okay. Oh, this is much better. Good evening, commissioners. This is Executive Director Patricia was mentioning, we have been thrown into an area where we have to be much more creative in how we get our documents signed, and there's a need for a policy for this to happen. One of the things that it happens with this policy is this is a policy that is suggested and encouraged, but it doesn't require for someone to actually use it. So I want to be clear that if there was someone that had a problem in doing or using e-signature, they would still be allowed to do a print signature. That would be something that our policy is very specific. Your policy has a component that
and then the mama thing is to you can't unmute it. It says
hello. Can I ask everyone who is listening in on the Oakland Housing Authority's meeting to please mute yourself? Thank you for your cooperation.
Okay. So I was mentioning that in order for it to be a bona fide signature, there are six items that need to be met before the signature can actually be considered part of the process and the procedure. One of them is that there's an intent to sign electronically. The second one is that all parties have to consent to the transaction, and it has to be completely completed electronically. The electronic signature is unique to the person that is using it. This electronic signature is capable of being verified, and then lastly that the electronic signature is linked to the data in such a manner that the data is if it's changed, then it would be invalidated. So all of the companies that do these type of work have a very specific protocol that if someone were to try to make any changes, then it would show, and then if that were to be the case, it would invalidate the signature. We have a table of items that basically form part of this policy. And in essence, just to make it in a nutshell, any transaction that has to be notarized or that contains documents that have to be real estate related are excluded from this policy, and basically everything else it would be it would form part of this policy. But by law there's real estate transactions cannot be conducted through e-signature policies. And lastly, the one of the requirements that we have is that our policy has to match our document retention policy. So whenever we come with how long should the signatures be kept on file, well, everything mirrors our document retention policy. So that way that there's no mistake that if there's a document that was signed in 3 years ago, but now the policy allows for that, to be disposed of, then that, can be, both, policies will, run concurrently. That concludes my presentation. If there are any questions, please, I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Manriquez. I think the other thing that I would add is General Counsel and I were specifically focused on the fact that confidential documents, we have specific requirements for containment and control of confidential documents of the Housing Authority, including personal identification information, by using a distinct electronic process with the security measures that Mr. Manriquez identified. We ensure that confidential documents stay controlled on present here at the Housing Authority on premise and location, and that allows us to ensure that they're restricted from leaving the building. So it also adds coverage and protection for our confidential items. And with that, commissioners, that concludes the staff report, and we're available for questions.
To the chair, I have a question.
Yes.
Director, what the doc, it's unclear in the language. Are our residents going to be able to use this system too for recertifications and or any other business?
Yes, Commissioner Castillo, that is affirmative.
Sorry, Andres, I should have directed the question to you. So yes, that will be the case then.
That is correct. The amount of efficiency by us, you know, doing this electronically, you know, it also, you know, spills to our, you know, resident, you know, population. So they would be, you know, greatly benefited from, you know, this process.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Thank you.
Yeah, I have one question. Is this applicable for, I understand not for a real estate transaction, but is it applicable for real estate financing for documents that don't require a notary?
For the answer to that question, I'm going to punt this one to our general counsel, Ms. Brown.
Hello, commissioners. This is Jale Brown. So the way we have it set now, items that require notarization, items that require notaries cannot be e-signed. Non-notary documents, you have the discretion of getting them, of using an electronic signature. And that list that's before you is a fluid list. So if, you know, if it's not prohibited by law, it's not prohibited by HUD or some other, or for some other reason, you can modify what the body chooses to allow to be e-signed and what you choose not to have e-signed. So right now, looking at... Let's see what we have in the chart now. So right now we have, so in this version, it doesn't discuss financing documents, but like I was saying, those that require notarizations, typically we say no e-signing, and those that do not, we say yes, but it's at the pleasure of the board how they choose to formulate this policy. And it's all about control and security, and that's sort of what we're trying to look at in permitting e-signatures.
Currently, commissioners, your current executive director does require for major financing documents to be printed in hard copy and bought before me for signature. So this is not one that you have to worry about. We've done it so that the ORED team, the finance team, and the operations team, and even our chief of police puts together the packets, and they're bought to me for those type of documents in a hard copy.
Yes, okay, well, thank you. I actually was not really worried about that because I just signed a pile of mortgage documents all electronically. So I was assuming that this was applicable to the financial parts of the transactions that were non-notarized. Okay, thank you so much. Do we have a motion?
I'd like to move the item, it's Commissioner Griffith.
It's been moved.
I'll second Commissioner Jung Lee.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? It carries unanimously into the modern age. Then we're moving to item E.
Commissioners, item E is authorizing the executive director to increase the contract with the City of Oakland for the Sponsored Base Housing Assistance Program, also known as SBHAP. by $1,061,093 per year in the not to exceed amount of $3,081,093 per option term for each of the remaining 2 1-year option terms if they are exercised for this contract. Included in this is an additional slots for 40 households with children who are currently experiencing homelessness. This is a pilot expansion of the program, and we're rather excited to work with the City of Oakland to see how we can address some of the needs of families with children who are currently in an unhoused situation. To explain the mechanics of this program, I welcome to the microphone Michelle Hassan, Director of our Leased Housing Program. Ms. Hassan?
Good evening, Commissioners. Ms. Michelle Hassan with the Leased Housing Department. So we bring before you a proposal to expand our sponsor-based program. You may hear it referred to as OPRI as well, which is the term that is used by the City of Oakland to speak to the sponsor-based partnership that OHA has with the city. You may hear the term Oakland Path Rehousing Initiative, OPRI. And for the city, they're talking about this sponsor-based program with the Oakland Housing Authority. So our partnership began, as the memo notes, in 2010. And at that time, we were serving a particular groups of population that we still serve today, which are encampments, 27 to 30 individuals from encampments or shelter, and 18 to 20 from encampments with serious mental health issues, another 25 to 30 adult probation and parole, and then 17 to 20 homeless youth who are exiting the criminal justice system or foster care, who are at risk of homelessness or are homeless. And so we are requesting in this resolution to increase the population that served to include the 40 additional homeless families and with children. What came to the Oakland Housing Authority from the city is that on any given night, there's an estimated of 120 unsheltered families in Oakland living on the streets, their cars or tents. And over the course of a year, 500 families in Oakland, comprising over 1,000 children, will experience some type of unsheltered homelessness. And so Oakland Housing Authority sees this fairly successful program as one that is already in place and could fairly quickly serve some of these families who are homeless. Right now we have in the city, emergency shelter can serve about 44 families, transitional housing, 39 families, and then these rapid rehousing slots that other providers provide, 58 families. So we think this expansion is needed to serve as a family intervention for families who are on the street. Basically, what would happen is the same type of screening that we currently do would continue. And this is an MTW program, so the screening is more limited because these programs were built for families who might not initially qualify for the traditional Section 8 program. So what we do is we have to ensure that families, adults in these households are not registered under the sex registry, that they are not, that they don't owe the Housing Authority money, and that they have eligible citizenship. And pretty much after that, there's some required Oakland Housing Authority documents that they sign. Once we finish the screening, we then go out and do the housing quality standard inspection on all units. So OHA is the one who's confirming that the units that the families will live in do meet housing quality inspections. In terms of the ongoing collaborative, what it looks like is that on a monthly basis, monthly or every other month with COVID, we've had to reduce our meetings, but the City of Oakland and all of our partners meet and we talk about how the program is going. We talk about if there are vacancies in any of the particular groups that are being served. Currently, the collaborative includes Abode, East Oakland Community Project, Lifelong Medical, First Place for Youth, Building Futures for Women and Children, St. Mary's Center, and Operation Dignity. And so all of these partners with the city and OHA are sitting around a table when we could at that time, just talking about the challenges, the successes, folks who are being referred, what's their status. And so that model has worked really well for us. And we believe that we will continue with that model to serve these additional 40 families. As the memo says, we currently fund the program at $2,020,000. We are seeking that additional $1,061,093 for fiscal year 21. And what we had asked the city was that they come to the table having OHA pay for less of the cost other than security deposits and the subsidy payment. And this year they actually did that. They took out of the budget some of the costs such as utilities, moving expenses, unit preparation. And so OHA is primarily focused on rent subsidy and security deposits. And so we were looking for that. We had asked the city to bring more of the dollars to the collaborative, and this year they actually did that. And they expect to leverage in terms of additional dollars for services for the 40 families, $277,348 for those specific families through the expansion. Overall, the city leverages about $253,000 a month with all of the partners' costs included that the partners bring to the collaborative with the city's collaborative dollars and the in-kind contributions. So we feel that this could be really a successful partnership added to assisting families, homeless families. And that's what we bring before you today. The partner who will be assisting with these families is the Building Futures for Women and Children. They will come through the family front door, which is the coordinated entry system for families. The other individuals, the individuals who are already being served, are coming through the coordinated entry system for adults. But these families will come through coordinated entry called the front door, which serves primarily families in the North County area in Oakland. So that's where the families will be referred from to Building Futures for Women and Children and then to OHA for screening.
Thank you, Michelle. And commissioners, I want to echo and reemphasize that this year we worked very diligently, the staff team, and I want to give a thanks to Ms. Hassan and Mr. Manriquez for representing the Housing Authority in these dialogues to ensure that the precious resources for the Housing Authority are being invested in the place where we have our forte, and that's in the housing subsidy itself, and concentrated there, and that our partnerships bring to the table those above board services focused on the families receiving support. In this case, one of the things that I had the pleasure of emphasizing is, given our current focus on education for children and some of the work that we've done with families in this space to make sure that the children are receiving, and their parents, everything to help them during this transitional one-year program to be as stabilized in their education process as possible. So we are excited for this one-year pilot, and we will be reporting on the metrics of this program in the Leased Housing Monthly Report. And with that, that concludes the staff presentation, and we're available for questions.
If there are no questions, do we have a motion?
like to move the item. It's Commissioner Griffith.
Commissioner Jung Lee, second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Hello. I'd like to go ahead and acknowledge that Commissioner Montgomery joined the meeting at around 6:25 p.m. Commissioner Montgomery, are you present?
Say yes.
Thank you. Okay, Commissioner, we can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, she's satisfied. Okay, Mom.
Okay, Commissioner, you can mute your telephone now. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. We are now moving on to item F.
Commissioners, item F is a resolution authorizing the execution of a cost of living adjustment for employees of the authority not subject to a memorandum of understanding. This includes our staff team of senior executive management, middle management, senior professional services, professional, confidential, SORN officer and supervisory job groups, retroactive effective July 1st, 2019. To explain this item is our Director of Human Resources, Mr. Drew Felder. Mr. Felder?
Director and Chair, may I say something?
Yes, you may.
I actually lost my connection during the last vote, so I wasn't able to vote. But I need to ask counsel whether I needed to recluse myself because I heard my organization's name mentioned in the last item, and I just got back on. My computer malfunctioned, so please forgive me, but I wanted to hear some direction on the last vote. I wasn't present for it.
Yeah, yes, Commissioner. So if you are a member of the organization that was just mentioned in the prior item, you should recuse yourself.
I believe St. Mary's Center has, if I'm not mistaken, one final senior in this program. I haven't heard anything. Perhaps the director would be able to help me confirm that. But I did hear St. Mary's Center. So can I recluse myself after the fact?
Of course. I'm going to ask Director Hassan, can you confirm the participation of St. Mary's in our sponsor-based programs?
Yes, that is correct. St. Mary's does refer individuals for the program.
Okay. So respectfully, then I would recuse myself. Sorry, I didn't know this before. From the ability to vote, which I couldn't vote because I wasn't on the line. So how do we do this legally?
I think technically you've just acknowledged that you were not on the line during the vote.
So, oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that has the effect of you recusing yourself. So it worked out.
I guess it did. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
For being transparent, and we've got it as a matter of record, which just shows the integrity of the Housing Authority trying to do business. So thank you, Ms. Brown.
Okay, thank you very much.
Every now and then, technical failures.
Everything happens for a reason. So now, if it pleases the commission, I'm going to turn the microphone again over to our Director of Human Resources, Drew Felder, to give us some staff report on item F.
Good evening, Commissioners. Drew Felder, Director of Human Resources. As you know, the authority has been in negotiations for approximately a year, or a little bit more. And a critical part of that negotiations process is determining, can you hear me? Is that better? Okay. A critical part of that negotiations process is determining what percentages, if any, are appropriate for cost of living adjustment. with the understanding that a cost of living adjustment is intended to counteract the inflated cost of necessities like food and education and things of that nature for our employees. The proposal that the union and the authority came to a verbal agreement on was based on the Bay Area CPI, which is a consumer pricing index, which is what the Bureau of Labor Statistics uses to determine the inflated costs of necessities, as I mentioned before. And as I said, the unions and the authority came to a verbal agreement on this process. And what this process looks like is taking the 6 bi-monthly ratings that are issued by the Bureau of Labor Statistics and averaging them out to figure out what the cost of living adjustment would be for that year beginning on July 1st of the year. With the understanding that the economy can have a large impact on the CPI, there were a floor and ceiling put in place. The floor being 2.5% and the ceiling being 4.5%. In the event that the average ends up outside of that floor or ceiling, what it would do in this proposal is trigger what's called a reopener. So the union and the authorities will once again meet and negotiate to see what a cost of living adjustment, if any, would be appropriate for that particular year. As I mentioned, we had a verbal agreement on this. When I approached the unions to get a signature on these verbal agreements, unfortunately, despite best efforts, the union was not willing and would prefer to continue having discussions about the process. And in the authorities' opinion, it would be in our employees' best interest, given what is happening with the COVID pandemic and given the amount of time that has passed since our last cost of living adjustment. It would be appropriate for us to move forward now with our unrepresented employees with the full intent of the represented employees receiving a similar benefit as the agency has a history of being a Me Too agency and providing similar benefits to represented and unrepresented employees.
Thank you, Drew. I would add to that report, commissioners, that Mr. Felder, with the inclusion of myself and the negotiation team of Ms. Hassan and Ms. Schifferl, spent some time working with the union in the past 2 weeks to try to once again explain the very equitably methodology of using CPI for an adjustment. And so while we're disappointed that we weren't able to bring the entire OHA staff team, as Mr. Felder said, we thought given the circumstances we know that many of our staff have been under to bring the unrepresented, Mr. Felder continues to reaffirm the verbal agreement with the union. I have to say in my 21 years, this is the first time following a verbal agreement that we've had a change from the represented teams, but I'm confident that we'll be able to get to a space where we can hopefully bring something very soon to the board so that we can bring our represented team, hardworking ladies and gentlemen, to the board for approval for their COLA for 2019. And that concludes the staff report. Are there any questions?
I have a question. This is Commissioner Jung Lee. Are union negotiations normally this long? Because we're talking about almost a year before people get raises.
Commissioner, I have to say that in the history of the Housing Authority, there have been times where we've gone a year or longer with negotiations. We tried very diligently this time not to have it happen, but given the pandemic, shelter in place, and a couple of other situations throughout the year, this negotiation unfortunately did drag on, but it is not the first time, quite frankly. And so we have 3 bargaining units, and some of it is scheduling, some of it is also perspective, but as I said, Mr. Felder has been giving it his attention, and our staff represented teams are working hard to make sure that we come to closure on this, on cost of living adjustment. We are still in negotiations for other items for each of the 3 represented groups, but coming close to conclusion for those also.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your answer.
This is an action item?
Yes, yes. I'm just waiting to see if anyone has any more questions. Do we have a motion, please?
Commissioner Wright, so move for the executive director to follow through on the COLA increase 4% retroactive July 1st, 2019.
Very good. Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second, Commissioner Griffith.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Carries unanimously, which now brings us on to item G, the consent agenda.
As this is consent, I will read off the three items to see if there's any other questions. Item G1, consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director issue blanket purchase orders to various vendors for routine, reoccurring low dollar amount purchases of materials and services for fiscal year 2020-2021. This item is brought before the board at every annual meeting for the upcoming year. G2, consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director to issue blanket purchase orders to various vendors and service providers with ongoing contracts and intergovernmental agreements for routine, recurring low dollar amount purchases for fiscal year 2020-2021. Again, this is a routine item brought before the board during every annual meeting, and the procurements for these rely on intergovernmental agreements, and that's why they're specialized and culled out from the other ones. And then item G3 is consideration and approval to enter into contracts with Development Group, Inc., DGI, and Amazon Web Services, AWS, to purchase equipment and services needed to update the authority's network infrastructure. This item was explained during the budget workshop by our Director of IT, James Shinagawa, on efforts to bring the Housing Authority's network infrastructure up to date and stabilized for safety and superior services. And that concludes the consent agenda.
Do we have a motion?
Commissioner Tortorich will move it.
Second, Commissioner Griffith.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Carries unanimously, bringing us to item H, which is recognition of people wishing to address the commission, and people can address the commission electronically. We did not have any electronic inquiries, is that correct?
That's correct, Chair.
Okay, so then we are moving on to written communications.
Thank you. In written communications, behind the first tab is the monthly report for all the services provided by the Housing Authority during the month of May 2020. You will note that we started to get better and more assertive and nimble at providing services remotely. There's articulation by the staff team of everything from remote briefings, interviews, workshops, including Winning Wednesdays to help folks acquire jobs. We also have in our ORED report updates on the progression of our development projects. We have been able to make some headway with the Oak Rose rehab, and happy to say that all of our families have been relocated out of Oak Grove North, and so we are now making headway into the redevelopment of that project. And if there are no questions, that concludes the submission of our monthly written report. Do we have any questions? Great.
I do not.
In written communications, I first want to acknowledge that during the June 9th meeting, we received no public comment by email or voicemail. So there's nothing to report back on that. You'll find a memo, and it's a staff briefing on master leases. This is in response to a question raised during the workshop by Commissioner Castillo. She requested understanding of all the properties that the Housing Authority had under a master lease. And so that's explained in this very brief memo on where we have master leases and the purposes of those. And then behind that, we have a letter of thanks from a constituent who received assistance from our officers, Officer Bang and Sergeant Dupree, responding to a domestic violence call. And so just wanted to highlight to the commissioners the ability, not the ability, but rather this, the expert professionalism of our staff team on answering to calls for service. So that concludes the written communications. During the month of May, we provided through the National Association of Housing Redevelopment Agencies two letters advocating for additional funding under the CARES Act, as well as additional waiver support nationally for housing authorities trying to respond to the crisis. And I just want to also highlight that this past Friday, our police department under the leadership of Chief Duplessis held with our 2020 cadets and explorers a dialogue surrounding the recent protests, the energy and concerns raised about police departments and racism. And it was a very emotionally charged but amazing dialogue with 16 young people and representatives of our police department. And the honesty and the vulnerability of all in the discussion is just to be applauded for everyone's bravery. And it's actually a program that we're going to try to replicate through Zoom and small group meetings during the summer for other young people, and have them have the opportunity to meet with representatives of our police department to get an understanding of how we move forward to fix the problems that have been shown to be endemic in law enforcement, but also to raise up the leaders of our future to try to address the whole question around equity, diversity, and finally making the dreams come true by our leaders during the civil rights era. So I just want to thank Chief and his officers for that. And then lastly, during the protests, Housing Authority did not have a lot of impact by protests. We did, however, have some political statements spray painted on our buildings downtown here in the city of Oakland. And on one such occasion, some what I will now refer to as street artists were spray painting on some of the boards protecting the building at 1540 Webster. They were approached by officers, again, of the Housing Authority. They contacted me, and what turned out to be a stop and talk by officers is now a partnership with some street artists who are doing political commentary, and we actually will be offering them the board that they painted in honor of the lost soul, Mr. Eric Salgado, who was a resident of Oakland, killed about 2 weeks ago. And so it just shows the community policing effort by our police department, and quite frankly, the different approach that the Housing Authority is using in this new age of working with the community in partnership to try to allow folks to make a statement, but also protect our property. So I just wanted to highlight that what could have been a situation turned out to be a partnership, and we're working with those young artists today. And I again want to thank for the approach. And thank you. Here are some of the photographs of some of the art that is painted on the side of our buildings. Thank you for putting that up there. And so I'm calling it art because it
is
making political statement. And we need our young folks to be able to have a voice. And so just want to thank again the police department for their approach to working with everyone in such a humane and caring way. And that concludes. Also in the back of your packet is the commission meeting schedule calendar for 2020. And with that, I conclude our report.
Do we have any reports from commission committees? I believe that's the next item, right? Yeah. No commission committee reports. Okay, Do we have announcements by commissioners? Well, I would just like to express my thanks and appreciation for this board and the continued support of Ann and I as vice chair and chair. You know, this is really a big deal. I'm very honored to have this support, frankly. And I thank you all. So now we are ready for a motion, unless there are any more announcements. We're ready for a motion to adjourn to closed session.
Commissioner
yes.
Wright. So
oh, okay. We have, I'm sorry. And then Betty, so you're seconding or moving?
Commissioner Wright, so moved that we close this session and go into our closed session.
Thank you.
Second.
All right, thank you very much. We will take 5 minutes and then we will commence our closed session.
So commissioners, that concludes this Zoom presentation and you have the link for the closed session. Thank you all for attending. Have a good night.